Welcome to the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, after a win, we have Brawley in St. Louis. What's going on, my man?
What a way to start the day, eh? Man, 6 a.m. starts can be brutal, and it's just a great way to start your day when West Ham win. And also, I should add, the last ever St. Louis FC home game was last night, and it's played behind closed doors, and I got to go in. So if you notice my voice is a little weak, that's because I was screaming all day yesterday at the St. Louis FC game. We won 2-0 and got in the playoffs, and then West Ham win 3-0 this morning. So it's been a good 2 days for me.
Yeah, it's been a great weekend. I couldn't even believe it. I put out a tweet right before the game and said, pray for the best, expect the worst. And I think my prayers came true. I'm speechless. It's terrible podcasting, but I'm speechless. I have no idea even where to start. It was just an incredible performance. Not one player put a foot wrong.
And so Fall comes in after what? Yeah. Two days of training, if that? And plays like that? I mean, man, I tell you what, we need to buy the whole Slavia Prague team and bring them here for reinforcements, because it seems like everyone we're bringing in from Slavia Prague is just an absolute gem. And he comes in, Sofal comes in, and instantly the best outside back that we've had in the last 5 years. Maybe even 10.
After one performance. I think I texted you, and something I want to get into at some point. I just can't even believe that this man was signed, did a medical, passed the medical, did probably one training, one tactical section, starts in the side, and shuts down one of the highest attacks. I mean, this Leicester team is a team that just shipped five past Man City.
Man City, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a Leicester team that was three wins in a row to start the season, 9 points, top of the table. Just right under Everton, who have 4 wins in a row, which kind of bothers me. But point of the story is we just took 3 points on the road against one of the top teams in the league, and here we are sitting eighth. Did you expect this after the Newcastle result?
Oh, God, no, man. Newcastle...
That was the last time we did a pod.
Yeah, and I put $50 against West Ham on that game and won. I tripled my money off that bet, and I don't know what to say. Like, this team just confuses me. I saw a good tweet from someone. I can't remember who it was. Like, maybe Andy Murray's brother or someone, who said, you can never, ever bet for or against West Ham because they're so darn unpredictable. And, like, yeah, it sums it up perfectly. You never, ever, ever know what you're going to get with West Ham, which is why it's that. I mean, that's the beauty of being a West Ham fan. It really is. The like, I can't imagine being a Man City fan or a Liverpool fan, just expect to win every single game. Like, we went into the last two league games expecting to get hammered, and we won by a combined score of 7-0. Wolves, we haven't beat in both seasons in the Premier League, and Leicester, I couldn't tell you the last time we beat Leicester. I don't know when that was, but we were expecting to get thrashed today, and we come away with 6 points from Wolves and Leicester. I mean, no one saw that coming.
No, and it's just funny. You said you couldn't imagine following a team like Manchester City. I completely agree. I feel like all of my teams are buns because because West Ham, you know, whenever you win, it feels 10 times better. I follow Williams for auto racing and F1, and I like Middlesex cricket. And so whenever a team I like gets a result, it feels 10 times better because you just definitely don't expect it. I will say that I think it's interesting, though, going back a tad bit. I didn't really want to do this yet, but it kind of leads into the performance today. You know, the Newcastle game was horrendous. We really took it to Arsenal. And I thought we played well and were unlucky to get a result. And then we played the same energy, same style, same mantra against Wolves and won. And here we are putting in results again and beat Leicester. So I think something changed after the Newcastle game. I'm not sure exactly what. However, I think we really are really taking it to teams now.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference, and again, I didn't really get to watch the Newcastle game. And I've tried to, like, remove it from my memory. But if correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we played a back five against Newcastle. No. I thought it was a back four, if memory serves me right. So we've gone to this back five, kind of a, a 3-6-1, but when you're going into defense, then it's more like a 5-4-1. It's totally caught these other teams off guard. Now, I do think Wolves and Leicester are similar teams to where they like to play on the counter. We like to play on the counter. That back five kind of suits us against teams like that. So I'm a little cautiously optimistic as to whether that's going to work against other teams, especially when those teams go into a defensive shell from minute one. Like if you play, I don't know, Burnley or someone like that, I don't know how effective it's going to be against that. But that seems to be the biggest difference to me. Because again, Arsenal, same thing. We brought that back five out, I believe, against Arsenal, and it worked, and we were very, very unlucky not to get anything from that game. I think I tweeted something after the Arsenal game that bad teams find ways to lose and good teams find ways to win, was the way I was feeling, but it was a good performance. And then you go and look at these last two games against Wolves and Leicester, it totally boggles the mind, and that's West Ham in a nutshell for you right there is... lose against Newcastle, and then probably should have drawn against Arsenal, and then go and beat Leicester and Wolves. I mean, that is a West Ham microcosm.
How important are these 6 points, though? Think about it. Our next three matches are Spurs away, City at home, and Liverpool away. I mean, these are going to be three incredibly tough fixtures, and that 6 points is massive. Because I was afraid, honestly, after that Newcastle game. I know it's doom and gloom sometimes, and sometimes I can be a little fickle fan myself. But I was concerned that we would not pick up a single point until November. However, that 6 points is absolutely massive going into these next three games. Momentum boost as well. Who knows? Maybe you take it to some of these teams. I don't know. I thought that we were going to be in some serious trouble, and now all of a sudden we start picking up results and get organized, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe we can steal some points here.
Yeah, I think you and a lot of other people were very worried that we wouldn't pick up a single point until I think we play Fulham the first week of November, I believe. And I did say, though,
didn't I predict us 10th?
You did. Yeah, and we thought you were crazy.
Just want to put that out there. So I didn't think we'd pick up points, but I did think we'd go on a run.
Yeah, I don't know if you picked an actual position. I think you said top 10, but yeah, if memory serves me right. I don't know what to say because it's totally caught me and everyone else off guard at these last two performances. The League Cup.
There's still plenty of time to shift up and down the table in the next 3 weeks if we don't get a single result. So yeah. Who knows? But.
There is a lot of football left to be played this season, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But it's
34 more games.
It's promising. Yeah, when we need. Oh yeah, 34 more points. Is that what you meant to say?
No, 34 more games. It's we played four and there's 38 games, right?
Oh, but yeah, but we need 34 more points to safety. So either way, that math. Adds up if 6 minus 40 is 34, correct? Quick maths. Yeah. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
So it's just a great way to start this run of terrible fixtures.
The only disappointing thing is the end of that cup run there against Everton. I will say that was the only disappointing thing since we had our last podcast. Because like I said, the Arsenal match was great. It really bothers me. But something I just thought was incredibly interesting that the commentator said on our feed on Peacock. I'm not sure who the commentator was today off the top of my head. But the difference in this first team squad that's actually getting results in the league is the willingness and the commitment to the team and to each other. How about that time when Bowen took the corner kick and tracked back and made some defensive plays as well? I think that's the difference between seeing Yarmolenko and Anderson in that side.
Yeah, I totally agree. The cup defeat, I will say, had we not won this game, I would probably go on a long rant about our desires in the cup competition because I don't want to get negative, but when you hear the owner moaning about 50 grand to fly up to Everton, to fly up to Liverpool, and really not sound like he wants anything to do with the League Cup. Meanwhile, West Ham fans haven't seen a cup victory in, what, 41 years now?
Was it 40? 1980?
It was 80, yeah. So we're going on 41 years now. I mean, I think that's just ludicrous. And why you wouldn't want to be a part of that competition blows my mind. The fact that you're trying to pinch pennies and not have to pay to be in this competition. So I am very, very, very annoyed with that. But I don't want that to take away from today's game because it was brilliant. But you're right. It's an absolute disappointment to go out of the cup the way we did. Now, Everton, we might not have beat anyway with our strongest 11. But I think we should at least give it a go. And not to make a single substitution for 90 minutes when you're down 2-1, 3-1, 4-1 just absolutely blows my mind. But c'est la vie.
Anyway, I almost feel for David Moyes at this point, though. Because whenever we lose, it's Moyes ain't doing shit at home. What is he doing? And then whenever we win, it's like, oh, glad Moyes is at home. Alan Irvine at the helm here. Irvine's taking us to the promised land.
Irvine at the wheel.
Oh God, Brawley, why would you say that? No, I'm just playing. So I almost feel for David Moyes because I would assume that they did the prep together, and I would assume Irvine's making the decisions for the substitutes. I doubt that he has a radio or something.
Oh, like they that. Are. Maybe, you can see Stuart Pearce on the phone with David Moyes throughout the game. Moyes is calling the shots. Moyes is calling the subs. It's Irvine's just out there.
You think Moyes is calling the subs? I'm just curious.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
Oh, so then there you go. So
David, I don't know that factually, but you can see. I don't know that factually, but you can see Stuart Pearce on the bench with an earpiece, and even the Wolves game, he had a telephone in his hand talking the whole time. So
we need a Zoom call with David Moyes just to see him like in action while he's at home, trying to manage the team from the TV. So I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I think his 2-week quarantine will be up on Wednesday, I believe. So I think he'll be back for the next league game. So hopefully that doesn't affect with the mojo or anything. But what I say, stay home.
Don't change a winning side. Stay at home, Dave. I mean, you can still manage, but just keep doing what we're doing. I don't want to change a single damn thing.
But just to go over some stats with you, Leicester today didn't have a single shot on target. I think that says a lot to the way we set up defensively. And you said it earlier, the fact that they put 5 past Man City and couldn't muster up a single shot on target against West Ham, that speaks volumes. I think our performance was great. Now, granted, we did get really lucky with that offside there at the end of the game to rule out Harvey Barnes, which was a terrific goal, by the way. That was an absolutely filthy goal. But they tried to do that tippy-tap stuff all game, and it just wasn't working. And it seemed like the only time it worked was when we were tiring there at the 89th, 90th minute. And they broke in behind us, but
yeah. I want to interrupt you real quick because I do want to make a point on that. I thought the way that the defense played was incredible. They picked out so many passing lanes, and the way that they read the runs, the way that they closed down quickly. You know, I don't remember seeing that even against the Wolves game, even though we got a clean sheet. The way that they played today, maybe I just noticed it more, but it was superb. The way that they intercepted the ball, picked off passes, all of that, superb.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, that back five is working. Cresswell at left center back is working, which
is
kind of confusing. I do think, I will say, it suits him kind of because he has that extra cover on either side of him, so he's not alone out there. So Mazuaku can kind of track back and help him out on the left, and then you have Ogbonna on his right. So he's not out there on his own, and he doesn't have to rely on his pace anymore, which is huge for him. So
it's like almost playing 2 left backs in one position.
Yeah, it kind of is, but that gives, at least it gives Mazuaku the freedom to play left wing going forward, and then when you absolutely need him coming back, he's there to help. So I think Cresswell has really found new life at that left center back, and hopefully that'll continue to work. Last time against when David Moyes was in charge, it worked for a minute and then went away. So I don't know what the difference is between then and now, but hopefully Cresswell can keep up that solid run of performances at left center back. The stats were Leicester had 69% of the possession, nice. To our 31%. We had 14 total shots, they had 4. But this is the huge stat for me. Chances created, Leicester created 2 chances all game to West Ham 16. I mean, we had 16 chances, big chances at goal. Or sorry, that was regular chances. We had three big chances, and we put all three of them away. I'm just flabbergasted. I mean,
we took it to them.
Yeah, we did. We were the better team all game long. We were the better team. We deserved every single thing we got out of that game. And I don't think this isn't a case of. I heard Dave say it on his show. Dave and X both said, "It annoys me when we win, and win convincingly. It's only because the other team was shit." And that's what people were saying about Wolves, and they're probably saying that about Leicester. But I tell you what, man, we absolutely dominated that game. The possession may have been 70-30, but that it did not feel like that during the game because we did all of the attacking. I mean, we hit them, and every time we came forward, we looked dangerous, and it was spectacular. And take nothing away from West Ham this game. I really think we deserved every single bit of that.
If we didn't do this podcast right after the game, folks, just know that the game ended maybe 30 minutes ago. I would definitely be looking more into all that 70% possession and where they had that, because I genuinely do not feel like they had 70% possession. Like, that was not 70% possession West Ham on their back feet the whole game. That was 70% of having the ball, doing absolutely nothing with it, because when West Ham had the ball, they were efficient. And I think that was a difference this week. You know, the way that Antonio played today as well, and the way that they worked with him to feed him the ball in different areas. I mean, I just vividly in my head remember when they just pushed it down the line to him and he was in the middle of the field, made a fantastic run with his pace and power and slid it across the box to Fornals, and Fornals shot took a deflection. But that was a little something out of nothing that we made happen today. And I think that we just played incredible. I'm speechless.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, when was the last time we were just glowing about a West Ham performance? I mean, had we done a pod last week, I'm sure we would have been glowing like we are today. And by the way, we are switching platforms through for our hosting. I don't know what you call it. What do you call it? Our host?
Yeah. Our host and RSS feed slightly changed. So that's why we've been on a little break trying to find a new host. And we have. So we could probably announce that next week. And we're happy to actually put out this pod. And thanks to SoundCloud for the last year and a half. I mean, I pay, so, but whatever. But our new host is going to be incredible, and we're excited for that.
Yeah.
I do want to say another thing about the Leicester game, if you don't mind, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the other crazy thing is you did say it perfectly, that we finally beat a team rather than a team did not play well. And I think that was exciting to see. I think it was something different where we took it to them. I texted you and said, hey, we're up 2-0, not because we didn't do anything and fluked two goals. We were up 2-0 because we were whooping that ass. So it was really nice to actually just put it on the team, another team, rather than just hopefully get a result and the other team not perform.
Yeah, again, I totally agree. And you said it earlier.
Terrible podcasting. Really wish we weren't agreeing, but you said, it's true. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it was a fantastic performance. And what are you supposed to say? Nah, we were fucking shit.
I want to say, Mikel Antonio was absolutely unplayable today, as he was against Wolves. You can't get the ball away from him. I mean, you lump it up to him, and it sticks to his feet, and then he's got the physical presence to hold you off of it. And his runs, his pace, I mean, his energy, I mean, every single thing that Mikel Antonio did today was brilliant. I think he's my man of the match, hands down. But, I mean, you can't pick out one bad performance. I thought Rice was superb. Suchek, again, superb. Sofal, just incredible to come in. We said it at the beginning, just incredible to come in after 1 to 2 days of training and play that way. And it shows
how many times I text you that he key interceptions or positioning as well.
Yeah.
I mean, for not even playing a Premier League game before or training with the side for one day.
And his crossing was miles better than anything I've seen from Ryan Fredericks so far. Now, Ryan Fredericks is capable of putting in a good cross. He is capable of it. But when you get him sprinting down the wing and putting in a ball, it's almost terrible. It's like he has to be stopped to put in a good ball. Whereas I saw Sofal today put two or three excellent crosses, grade A crosses in from a sprinting position on the right wing. And that was really promising to see. And props to Tomas Souček for recommending this guy to the club. I don't like that we're only able to sign players off of other players' recommendations from a Czech league, but I tell you what, if he's half as good as how he played today the rest of the season, we're in for a massive upgrade at right back / right wing back. I think we still need a left back. I really do think that. And I think we need another center back just for cover. I don't want to say that'd be good enough. I would like another forward as well. That's me getting greedy, and I don't. We might be lucky to get one of those three. Come what is it? The window closes in 2 days. So
not even. I think. Well, I guess I was watching Sky Sports yesterday. I think it was 2 days and like 20 some hours. So yeah. I have probably like 2 day actual days left now.
Yeah. So I mean, I think we still have a little work to do in the transfer window. We still have a right to be upset with the way this transfer window is gone, but if we keep performing like this, David Sullivan will be laughing in all of our faces and say, see, I told you we didn't need anything.
Well, still GSB out, but, you know, I'm sitting here, I half listened to what you were saying, which is bad podcasting and a bad co-host, but I literally sticking in my head trying to figure out one bad performance. Like, you were going on your rant and your comments, and I just got lost in the trend and trying to think of one bad performance, and I can't. I went through the whole starting 11, and I'm like, I don't know who I would criticize. None of them, other than maybe Fabianski, because he didn't have to do anything, which is not his fault. So,
yeah, it would be so harsh on anyone to call them out for a bad performance today. I mean, you just can't do it. I think Masuaku at left wing back is definitely his position, or left wing. So when we don't have to rely on him for cover, man, it's such a relief to be able to watch him go forward, not have to defend for his life. So
he defends well enough for a wing back.
Yeah.
But as a full on left back, it's not good enough defending. So I think we finally found a way to get him activated in the side, and he plays well on the left there with Cresswell. And here's the other cool thing about that is in a pinch, they can rotate. They can overlap. Like, Masuaku is decent enough, not really, but decent enough where if Cresswell gets the ball and makes a run, Masuaku can rotate and slip back in there because they're both left-footed players on that left side.
Right.
So I do like the interchangeability and flexibility that they do now have to be more, what's the word, fluid?
Yeah.
Like be able to try something rather than just being stuck to a specific position on the field.
Yeah, and I really want to give a special shout out to Pablo Fornals for that goal that he scored. I mean,
that touch
to stay onside and then control the ball the way he did, bouncing up. He didn't control it on the way down; he controlled it on the way up, and then the finish is cool right into the bottom left corner. I thought was absolutely spectacular. And people have been moaning and whining about Fornals. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything. Well, today he had two absolutely massive chances, and one he scored, and the other one was blocked. So I think he's improving every game. I'm glad Moyes is stuck with him, because it would have been very easy and very tempting to go and slide Yarmolenko in there, or slide Lanzini or Anderson, who are just so out of form, it's not even funny. Anderson more than Lanzini. I just think Anderson, God, that game against Everton the other day in the cup, man, he looked petrified out there. I mean, he looked so scared to take anyone on, and every time he tried it, he would lose the ball, or he would turn around and try to pass it backwards. So it's like the man's so shot of confidence. I'm so pleased, and I got to give credit to David Moyes for sticking with Fornals, because he's not the sexy pick. Because I will say he's not flashy. Nothing he does is flashy. He doesn't have a lot of pace. He's not the best technically, but he's young and he's raw, and I think he's getting better. So I just wanted to say I want to give David Moyes all the credit in the world for sticking with him, and today proved why he should be out there, because he had enough pace to get through, he had the skill to take it down, and he had the finishing to put it away. So brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And then what can I say about Jarrod Bowen that I haven't said already? I love Jarrod Bowen. I mean, what a signing. It blows my mind that two signings – in January can make as big of a difference as they did last season. Souček and Bowen. I don't think I think we go down if we don't have Suchek and Bowen last season. I think that's a safe thing to say.
One of the key things, though, is you don't need to invest millions of dollars in players. It just takes the right recruitment, and I think that's a big issue that we've had the last few years of spending that $100 million, that $112 million, and sure, we got some money back on other players, but our issue has been recruitment. But if you look at the two players that we signed, Bowen was, what, 20? Million,
something like that.
Suchek was like 17.
Yeah.
So we're talking about right there two key players under 20 million. If Kofau, or is it Sofau?
Yeah. The correct pronunciation, the Czech pronunciation, is Sofau. It's not Ku like it looks like in the English language. It's so.
Okay. So Sofau. Okay. So let's just say Sofau comes in and plays well. That's another 6 or 7 million there. You know, those are three key players that we bought for under 20. You know, you don't need to spend 40. You don't need to spend 60. You just need to have the right scouts and make the correct buys and have the right infrastructure to find those gems. And they're not even gems. 20 million is a good amount of money for a player. It's just spending it properly.
And
so when you're talking about 40 million for Allaire, and I like Allaire, and I think he's a top player. I just think that he can't get into the side because, one, Antonio is playing well, and two, we don't give him the proper service when he does get in the game, or when he gets the proper service, he scores. But then the other one is Anderson. That was the biggest waste of 40 million. We thought he was great at first, but he's out of form and can't recover. So I guess my point of my rant is you could spend 80 million, or you could spend 20. On players that you know or that you're confident will succeed.
And to add to that point, I think it's absolutely critical that we're actually buying players that want to come to West Ham. It's like when we're making those 40, 50 million pound bids in for players, it's like we're overshooting, like players that probably shouldn't be playing for West Ham. And then the only reason you're attracting them is because you're offering them double what they earned. Like Tarkowski clearly didn't want to come to West Ham. I think that would have been not a bad signing, because I think he would have added to the squad. But if you sign someone that really doesn't want to be there and they're only coming for a paycheck, I think that those have been our biggest disappointments. Buying guys from the Czech League or the Championship, who the Premier League is a big draw for them, and they want to be in the Premier League, they want to be at West Ham, and they are driven and they have a desire to go and perform out on the pitch. I think that's huge. And these prima donnas, like, again, Felipe Anderson, I don't think Felipe Anderson really, really wants to be at West Ham. I think clearly, or his confidence is so shot that it's gone. And then Yarmolenko came from Borussia Dortmund. That's a step down, in my opinion. While he's performed okay, they're not bothered if they're not performing that well, because they're earning $100,000 a week. You know what I mean? So,
but oppositely, Dimitri Payet came from Marseille, right? Came from Marseille and came to the Premier League, which I guess is a half a step up. But he was playing Champions League football in Marseille. I think it just depends on buying the right player. I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think it's about what league they're coming from. I think it's about, does this player have the desire and can they perform? And I'm sure I picked out the one guy that's been successful for us, but I think it breaks the trend of what you're saying about, yes, I agree with you on the hungry players coming from the Championship. Yes, I agree with that. Or the Czech League. Or maybe from like Holland or something, where a Premier League is a step up. But I think that you can go from League One or from Italy if you buy the right players. I mean, didn't Ogbonna come from Juventus?
Ogbonna came from Juventus, yes, but he wasn't playing very much there. I mean, that was the thing. But yeah,
it would be a playing time versus a league situation for that example. But I guess my argument is that I think you can get players from other talented leagues. I think you just need to have the right players. And unfortunately, we were unable to, at first we did, but unable to now get what we need out of Felipe Anderson. And we're not playing Allaire properly, and we're not getting what we need out of him. So that's two bad investments.
Anyway, I think we can wrap up this conversation and wrap up the Leicester performance. I think we're all buzzing with the way things have gone, and we've got a good amount of comments and questions on Twitter. So do you have them pulled up in front of you? Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. And it's nice that we actually gave ourselves time to do it today, because we really appreciate everyone giving the comments and questions and all the notes and stuff, but then sometimes we only get to like two or three. So thanks everybody this week, and we're going to have more time and actually get to them. And before I pull that up, because I have it, it's the first thing that popped up on my screen. Shout out to Trevor Sinclair for the comment about brilliant performance and win West Ham. Well done to the lads and everyone involved. So that's exciting to see as well. Also, I just got a halftime buzz that Wolves and Fulham are tied 0-0 at the half.
Yep, I'm watching. I got the game right on right behind you in this in the screen. I'm looking right over you and watching the Wolves Fulham game.
Nice. So should I just get us started?
Go ahead.
Okay, so Charlie Cooper says, is it too early for us to feel like we have a solid team on our hands now? Also, has Moyes been lucky, or is he finding, like many of us, that he's better at his job when working from home?
Mm-hmm. That's a good comment. I like that a lot. I guess I'll start, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Is it too early to feel like we have a solid team? I don't know. I mean, are we getting a bit ahead of ourselves? Like, yeah, I sarcastically tweeted out that we're the we're massive and we're the biggest team in London with the Champions League GIF. I think sarcastically a lot of fans are feeling confident now, but I don't want to get, like, I still thought that this team would finish 16th, 17th, and while they are showing that they are capable of beating good teams like Wolves and Leicester, I think the real tests are going to come against the bottom end of the table that we haven't played yet. The really testing games are going to be, like I said earlier, your Burnleys, your West Broms. West Brom's defense has been a bit open, so I think they're a little different. But the teams that set up defensively from minute one, I am very curious to see how this is going to work against them, because I think we struggle to take it to teams when you park the bus in front of us. I think that's what I'm really looking forward next. So, like, Fulham, Newcastle did it, and we lost to Newcastle 2-0. But again, it wasn't the same setup, but that's the kind of teams that I'm looking for us to try and break down, because Steve Bruce and Sean Dyche set up so defensively that, again, they're really tough to break down. So that's what I'm – so I don't want to get too ahead of our – long way around, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. But, yes, I do think we have a good, solid squad so far, and they're showing that they are capable. We knew they were capable also. We knew that they were capable. But they're showing to us that they can do it on a week-to-week basis. So that's good to see.
I have the perfect answer for this, or at least I believe it is. This team – because I predicted them to finish 10th. I didn't say top half. I mean, which would be top half, but I did say 10th. Okay, I think that this team is good enough to finish top half. What I will say, though, and this is the hardest part about this, is this team has the talent to finish top half if they perform every night. This is not one of those teams, and the difference between Wolves and West Ham and Leicester and West Ham and some of these other teams, and even the top six teams that are actually like amazing, right? The difference is, those teams can still get a result on an off night. West Ham cannot get a result on an off night. We will, if we play poorly this season, I don't think we have the talent or the luck, both, to get a result if we play poorly. The only time we're going to get results is if we play well, and that's going to be the difference. Some teams you'll see will pick up a draw or pick up 3 points and play miserably. We're not going to have the talent or wherewithal to do that. So to the question, is it too early to feel like we have a solid team? I think we have a solid team if we are all playing the performance we did tonight against Leicester or against Wolves as well. But I don't think that if they play well, I do not think that they'll get a single result this season, and that's the difference. There's not one – we don't have a player like a Payet. I mean, remember that season at the Bolin where we just snuck out results sometimes even if we played poorly?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when we played Sunderland and we won 1-0.
Tiafra Sacco, 88th minute, I think.
Yep, and that game was horrible. That was really one of the worst games I watched, but we somehow snuck out results because I thought that we were a talented enough team that if we played poorly, we could still beat Sunderland.
Yeah,
I do not think that this team is good enough that if we play poorly, that we'll beat anybody. And that's exactly what happened to Newcastle. We played poorly that game, and we got trashed. I don't see us playing poorly in any game and getting results. So I think that's the difference.
The next one we have here is from our buddy Dan Roberts, at Roberts Daniel. He says, this team is obviously good enough to finish mid-table. That's a bold statement, obviously. Yeah,
I don't know. But I mean, like I just got done saying, I think it's good enough, but not if they don't play well.
I say on paper, maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe on paper his team, sure, the team is obviously sure. good enough. But anyway, the rest of it. Who is one player that you believe could push us to fighting for a European spot if signed before the window closes? So we're putting you on the spot. So who do you think we should sign?
I want to answer Dan's question in a slightly different way. I disagree with him. As much as I love you, Dan, I do not think one player will give us the talent to push us forward, unless it was like an incredible player like Messi, and that's just not realistic. I think we are a lot away from a European place. I think that, as I just got done ranting before, I'm not going to go into that whole spiel again, but my argument of we're not a good enough team to play poorly and get results, that would take a few more key role players, like you said, replacing a Masuaku with a left back that on a bad night is still better than Masuaku. We're talking about, let's see, Fornals. I like Fornals, but when he plays poorly, it's really evident. If you had a key number 10 that when they play poorly, it's still better than Fornals. Like, do you get what I'm saying? We need players that on their low nights are better than our key performers on their best nights. And I think that's the difference between a top side and us.
Yeah.
So I don't know who I would sign, because I think we need a lot more help than one guy to push us in a European place. I think we need two or three players and key players to keep us actually mid-table.
Yeah, I think, like, if you brought someone in, now again, this isn't realistic, but like a Virgil van Dijk, which again is like impossible to find. He's the best central defender in the world. But find someone along those lines that can shore up the back. And then I would say, if I had to pick one guy, in an ideal world, we sell Anderson, Lanzini, Yarmolenko, and ship the Deadwood out, and we buy some replacement. And I would say Saeed Benrahma would be an absolute huge player in the Premier League. He proved it again against Fulham. He scored one of the best goals you'll see in the League Cup. I think Benrahma improves us. But again, we have like 8 number 10s, so-called number 10s and wingers that can play in that area. But I think I would love to get rid of Anderson and Lanzini and then bring in Benrahma. I think Benrahma would improve us massively and potentially play over Fornals, or they would interchange every now and again. But I think, again, Benrahma, I love him. I think he'd be a terrific player.
Different players, though, which would be useful. Like, if you had starting quality of two different types of players, you can change things up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think what you miss with Anderson and Lanzini is their declining quality or form or both. And I agree with you. It's not working out, and it's sad because I like both of those players. But you know, I'm not here to like you. I'd like to like the players, but I want to see some results. You know, I want to see you work hard. I don't even care if you're shit. It's not about being good. It's not about playing well. It's about putting in the heart and desire. So if Anderson is playing hard and sucks, well then I can be like, okay, well at least he's trying. But you know, sometimes you just watch his play and it's just miserable to watch. It's so lackadaisical. All right, so should I read the next one off here?
Yep.
All right, so the next one is from Brian G. That's Irish Bearded Man. Are we finally seeing the Moyes touch, or what do you think has happened over the last few weeks? Can I start on this one?
Yep.
I know I started the last one. No, I wouldn't say that we're seeing the Moyes touch. I think we're seeing the team play better. I don't know what the Moyes touch entails, and I don't really want to know what it is. I don't think that he really does anything exceptionally well. I just hope that it's – because I don't think that he's tactically a great manager, David Moyes. I don't think he makes very good substitutions, and I don't think that he sets up well. I think he finally found something, maybe, and I think the players finally came to play. But I would not say that I find David Moyes a tactical genius or a massive inspirer. I think that the team has finally come to play. So I'll let you go ahead now. I want to give Moyes credit for finally figuring it out. However, we're talking about his second stint in the already 4 games into this season. I wish from the get-go that he would have figured it out sooner.
Yeah, I think
who knows if it even works.
I think you took the words out of my mouth. I think he is not a good in-game manager. And maybe that's because maybe he feels our bench isn't strong enough, which might be true. His substitutions leave something to be desired, I think. And he has no ability to change shape in the middle of a game. Now, you got to give him credit. This formation has worked. This kind of three, I don't know, I called it a 3-6-1 earlier, but
let's just call it that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a 3-1-4-1. I don't know, that math doesn't add up either, but anyway, I think it's a good formation. This five at the back system is working. Antonio up front on his own right now is working because he has the support of Jared Bowen up there. I think that's huge. And I will say, last time he was here, he got the best out of Arnie. Now it seems to be Antonio played up front as a striker. So I will say, I have to say, he is doing good things. And maybe his in-game management will be better had we had a stronger bench. And if so, that's on David Sullivan. I think you're right, though. He doesn't get my hopes up, just like as a manager. Like, he just doesn't do anything for me. But I don't want to discredit him completely, because he's doing actually a good job to finally find a formation that works from minute one. But again, I am weary going up against a defensive team with this formation and seeing how that goes. We can only find out when we play it against them. But I am, because he seems to, when he finds something, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of rambling. When he finds something that works, he seems to just stick with it until it's way past its expiration date. So I want to see him be more proactive against a Burnley. Maybe we go out and play a 4-4-2 instead of this. I don't know, but I keep going back and forth because I want to give him credit, but at the same time, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Long story short, what you want to say is you want to see him adjust the formation to the opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so play more attacking when we are playing a team that's going to sit back.
But at the same time, we've been crying out that we don't have an identity, and maybe this is our identity now. I don't know.
Well, here's my biggest concern, and this is from an outside, like from a fan point of view, is I really hope people don't shoot it down the next 3 weeks when we get spanked. Like, I hope we pick up results, and I think this formation will help us get results. We played well against Arsenal, but if we get spanked by Liverpool, City, or Spurs, I don't want people to be saying, oh, the 3-5-2 is shit, because it worked the last 2 weeks, and I'd like to see it continue to work or attempt to work against some of the other sides. I just don't want to see people want to abandon it after getting smashed by a team that, like Liverpool, who is just a fantastic side. And also, point of note, who knows what City team is going to show up? It could be the City team that drew Leeds and lost to Leicester, or it could be a City side that spanks people 4-0. I mean, that team has so much quality. So you never know.
The next one here is from at Iowa Iron. He says, West Ham haven't been this much fun since Sacco and Valencia. Hopefully it lasts longer than that run did. So, yeah, I agree with that. Sacco and Valencia under Allardyce didn't seem to last very long, but it was very exciting when it was working.
Yeah, I missed Diafra Sacco. I wonder what he's up to. I haven't looked up his wiki page or, like, what he's doing lately, but I always liked Diafra Sacco.
Me too.
I thought he was an interesting character to have around the locker room. Next one is Escozes, or I don't know how to pronounce that. My apologies. This is the shot map on 31% possession. It's just wild. Fornals, Bowen, and Antonio have turned themselves into the best counter since Real Madrid under Mourinho. Okay, I don't know about all that. But they really have figured it out. And I think you mentioned it when we were going over the game. The 16 chances created with only 31% possession was really outstanding performance and exciting to see from the team.
Yeah, I don't
have much else there, but I think it was just incredible.
No, he summed it up well. The 31% possession, as we said earlier, the fact that we created as many chances as we did is spectacular, and a very good counter-attacking side. And again, maybe that's going to be our identity going forward, so hopefully that's the case. Next one's from Tony Hatcher, at Tony Hatcher. People finally can't deny Fornals credit. Defending was solid. Thrilled with the performance and result. Yeah, I was saying the exact same thing earlier. You gotta give Fornals credit. You can't sit back and say, oh, he does nothing. That's all I hear is he does nothing. He doesn't do anything. Can't say that today.
And the difference in his performance is that he improved his defending desire, or I don't know what the mentality. I'm not sure what the right word would be, but effort. I don't know. Tracking back. I'll just say that it added an extra piece to his game that was lacking that leaves the defense exposed. So when he added that today and tracked back a little bit and also a few less giveaways, you know, it changes the game. I was talking to my buddy Clay the other day about, like, goalkeeper distribution and stuff, and similar concept. If you're not constantly giving the ball away to the other team, you're going to have more chances and more opportunities to score because you'll retain the possession or retain the ball. So similar to Fornals, that, you know, him tracking back and winning the ball back gave us more opportunities and back to the 16 chances created again. So all the comments and things feed together on what they did well and a brilliant performance.
Next one.
Next one is from W. David Rowe. And that's the Alamo City Hammers as well. Best performance in recent memory. We are absolutely fucking massive. I cannot wait for alternative commentary tomorrow. I think it is hilarious. And
it's the best. I think that
it's only going to get better if we keep winning.
He's my favorite or second favorite West Ham parody account behind Fake Carlton. And I'm convinced...
It's got to be Fake Carlton.
I'm convinced they're like twins, if not the same person. Because the banter... I don't know how they come up with this stuff. Like, I don't know how you spontaneously think of, like, this witty banter. I think it's absolutely hysterical, and I wish I was that creative, and I wish my mind worked like that, because I think it's hysterical. Because the names that the guy comes up with an hour after the game, like, I don't know. I think it's just incredible.
I'm shit at banter. I can't do banter. I get too mad easily, and I'm not creative. So banter's not for me. So I'm really jealous of the people who can come up with those funny videos and tweets and accounts. And stuff
when we lose, that's the only thing I'm looking forward to is the West Ham Clips alternate commentary, because it is hilarious. They're almost better when we lose too, but
well, they are slightly better when we lose. However, I think they're still hilarious, and I'd rather win, and I'm sure you do. And then SD Brown B said, we played well against Arsenal as well, and we were unlucky. Looks like we have something working at the moment, and goes off of what we've been talking about. Yeah, I agree with Steve there's response to David.
It's like we turned a corner.
Yeah, turned a corner, and I just hope we don't turn the corner again back the wrong way. It's going to be a tough three fixtures coming up, and I really hope that my goal is that we get either sneak a win out of one of the three or at least pick up maybe a draw or two. I'm happy that we have six. Six in the bag is key, because if I pull up the table real quick as I'm talking, some of these teams, oh boy, I mean, it's crazy down there. You're looking at Burnley have 0 points, West Brom have one, Fulham have one, Sheffield have one. They're really struggling. And then Brighton have three. So some of those teams down there are really struggling, and I thought that was going to be us.
Yeah.
After that Newcastle game, I thought that was going to be us. I was like, oh, Lord, I don't think that we're going to pick up a single fucking point till November. But, you know, here we are with six in the bag, which is a nice start with the run we have coming up next. Sorry, I wasn't sure where to go.
That's okay. Dave Sperry says that was a pure beatdown, and it sure was. It was a dominant performance by us. Merrick at Not Merrick. He has two comments. Rice Suchek is the best midfield pair in the Premier League. It's up there. It's getting up there. I still think Mane. I mean, I don't know. I guess if you're talking holding midfielders, maybe that might be the case. But I don't know.
Probably like protective midfielders.
Yeah, I think it's certainly up there, and they're performing like it. And then he also says, but there's little to no depth behind them. Nobes doesn't fit that mold. Need to sign at least one backup for each central defender.
That's a good shout. Yeah. I didn't even think about, I mean, we're talking about all the things that we need to sign. I didn't think about another replacement piece if one of those two goes down or Rice is sold in the next 2 days, you know? I didn't even think about that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if we, and it doesn't sound like we're going to sell Declan Rice, which is great, which is awesome. No. But if we did, there would be absolute carnage from the West Ham fans. I think we would implode, because we could have tolerated selling him like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when we had time to reinvest the money and bring someone else in. But if we sell him on deadline day and we can't bring anyone in, there will be... Well, yeah,
that would be disappointing too, especially after the run we're going on after playing well against Arsenal in the last two games of getting wins. You know, that would be really disappointing to this turned corner feel that we're talking about, and then just to sell a key asset like that, that would be very disappointing. And last but not least, West Ham Yank said, thoughts on Cresswell's performance? Got 2 goals today.
2 assists, he meant.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was like, wait a second. And looks solid at the left center back role. I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts, but I thought he's looked good the last couple of weeks. Yeah, you know, the defending of Cresswell and Masuaku maybe playing on the same side is the defending of one defender ability. So maybe that's why they're working well together. I don't know. But yeah, I think I like what he has to offer when it works. I think we did this experiment before with Cresswell, and when it works, it's great. But I feel like when it doesn't work, it's really bad. So hopefully he can keep up the form. Hopefully he can, because people were calling for him to be benched and sold.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's played well the last 2 games and at this new role. So hopefully he can keep the momentum, keep pushing, keep putting in results. And like I said, when it works. And when it doesn't, it's really bad. So hopefully he can keep up some sort of momentum here.
And I think that about wraps it up, I believe. I mean, I talked about Cresswell earlier. I totally agree. I think he maybe has found new life at left center back, and I think he's been terrific. And if that works for him there, then I'm totally happy with that. But I believe that was the last question we have. Do you have anything else for us before we go?
No. I think I just want to say one more shout-out to Sofal. I think that was an incredible debut for the team, and I just want to end on that note. I thought that was just amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, can you take us out on the parts that I always mess up?
Yep. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Guys, we'll be back to doing Sunday night recordings if we play on Saturday or Sunday, so that we will have it out Monday morning for you guys. We really appreciate you all tuning in and sticking with us. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can find us at West Ham Way US Pod. If you guys would all go, please go write us a nice review and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It really helps us climb higher in the charts, and that's all we want to do, is to have more people listen to us. And you can follow me on Twitter at Brawley Darbin. You can follow Tony on Twitter at Tony Clark Dupe. Guys, thanks again for listening, and hopefully we're coming with you guys after another win. I mean, who knows the way things are going? Why not us? So anyway, we'll talk to you guys later. See ya. GSB out.